And then with the love of Scripture and the opening up of Scripture, you'll see that occurring. Not some type of a, I've got to do this. It's just something that you will see happening. I want to open the Scriptures, spend time there, and see what God is doing in Scripture. So let's bear that in mind in regard to Scripture. And so, Larry, I hope you don't mind. Larry's going to have a child sometime later this year. I don't, what month?
August.
August, okay. Oh, you're going to go through a long, hot summer that way. Well, that's good. And so let's prepare ourselves for this aspect of giving. It is worship, and therefore we do not in any way blaspheme God. Like, God's going to be embedded in me if I give. God's going to be impressed with me if I give a lot or if I give sacrificially. There are two ways of giving. It's the amount I give or it's that I give sacrificially that really hit the note with a lot of people. And so giving becomes very important. I like the story of the widow's mite. And here is an extremely poor person and gives a mite, penny, and that's all she had. And, you know, Christ did not say, here, you keep this. He did not give it back to her and say, you don't need to give. I have the cattle on a thousand hills, and I appreciate your attitude, but you need this more than me. He didn't do that. And the reason he didn't do that was because giving is part of our spiritual response and relationship with God. And that would have divided. And secondly, he is the one who supplies all our needs. And that is so important for us to remember. America, well, not just America, all through history, was so governed by our finances. And what a real tragedy. Takes away an element of faith. And I'm not, believe me, I'm the one who will go to the grocery store. You'll see me there at 1 in the morning. But it takes away an element of faith in all of this, because we just go down to the grocery store. We can go here. We can go there. We know where our next meal is coming from. We generally have it in the pantry. But we have a lot of areas that we are so drawn to the dollar and govern our life by it. And to God, it just isn't the issue at all. So he told the widow that it was good that she gave and used that as an example. Okay, let's prepare ourselves for this facet of worship in regard to giving. Let's pray. What a privilege it is, Father, to respond to the leading of the Spirit in so many areas of our life, from the love of Scripture, assembling ourselves with believers, to giving, to the love of the Word, to witnessing, to allow your love to flow in our marriages and in our life. Now, Father, as we come to this aspect of worship, the sphere of worship, we pray, Father, that you will receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you will continue to use them, allowing this assembly to be used, Heavenly Father, in the spreading of the gospel, the spreading of the truth to both unbeliever and believer. We thank you, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. It's so difficult in the Christian life to keep our eyes totally focused on God and what he has done. And for this reason, so many people come to many false concepts of both God and the work of Christ on the cross when they orient and concentrate on man. One of those we've been spending a little time with, today is one Sunday more than I'd wanted to, but we will finish it today, and that is the concept of once saved, always saved. That once you have been redeemed, once you are secure in a new spiritual creature, born into the family of God, you cannot be unborn. You cannot lose your salvation. But what happens to so many Christians is they look at a Christian's life, they look at a sin or sins, and they conclude that you can lose your salvation. Now, what some do very cleverly is to just say, well, they were never saved. I just thought they were. Now, when they were walking in the Spirit, let's just say, or when everything was going well in that respect, they were saved. But then they do something. Well, I didn't know that about them, so they probably weren't saved, because they have accepted the fact that once saved, always saved, that once God has done his work, that you are saved. But what they conclude then is that that person was never saved. That way they get around it without attacking this truth. But in truth, that's exactly what they're still doing.